You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this Ash Wednesday 2018, we return to our study of the new version of Luther's Small Catechism with explanation. So today we go on to the topic of confession. As we begin this season of Lent, let us remember that Lent is what we call a penitential season. What does that mean? It's a time to remember and be sorry for our sins. Why should we be sorry, though? Everyone's a sinner. Everyone's out there committing sins. Why should we be different? Why should we be sorry? Well, we should be because, keep these two things in mind, every sin is ultimately against the Almighty God. And every sin, no matter how big or how small, makes us deserving of eternal punishment. So what does God do? God calls us to sincerely confess and gladly receive his gift of forgiveness. As we focus today on the fifth chief part on the topic of confession, let's go right now to what Luther asked. So he said, what is confession? And then he wrote, confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it, our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Coming to this section of the catechism, we come to what's called the central thought. It says the Christian life is one of repentance. What do they mean by repentance in this context? They mean the Christian life is one of sorrow for sins. That can overwhelm us, can it? As we think about all these sins and how we've gone against the Almighty God and how they condemn us forever, that can become overwhelming. But the central thought goes on and says, but we do not despair because of the assurance of forgiveness for Jesus' sake that God gives us through his servants. That's talking about the pronouncement of absolution, the pronouncement of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We come now to what's called in the Catechism a closer reading of the Small Catechism. We're going to take a look today at questions 325 to 333, and now we come to the first of those questions. What is the first part of confession? We acknowledge that every violation of God's word is a sin. When we don't do that, it's not a good situation. When we don't, that unconfessed sin makes us miserable. Maybe this is a little bit too graphic, but think about it like this. Have you ever eaten something that was poison? In other words, you got food poisoning. And inside, that was just making you feel so miserable, so sick. Actually, in my own life, I had a situation decades ago where I had food poisoning, and I was so miserable, I literally prayed that God would take my life. I was so miserable. That's a physical thing. In a spiritual thing, when we keep unconfessed sins within us, that's eating us up. That's overwhelming us spiritually. David prayed, when I kept silent, in other words, when I kept silent about my sin, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Therefore, God wants us to admit that our sins have offended him, that our sins are deserving of eternal punishment, and then we can confess like David. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So I hope we can see both sides of the coin. When we keep it in and don't confess it, it's horrible. When we do confess it and receive God's forgiveness, it is wonderful. The Catechism goes on and asks, What sins should we confess before God? And then it gives this answer: all sins, known and unknown, intended and unintended. So some sins we know about, other ones we sin and we don't even know it. Sometimes we plan a sin out. Very sad situation. But we know it's a sin, but we do it anyway. Other times, we don't intend to sin at all, and yet we kind of slip into it, we fall into it. David prayed in Psalm 19, "Declare me innocent from my hidden faults." So David was acknowledging, I have faults that are hidden. Now, when he said hidden, he wasn't saying that they're hidden to God, but he was saying they're hidden to me. I'm not even aware of them, but he's asking, though, God to declare him innocent even of those hidden faults. How can we look at it then? When we confess all sins, known and unknown, intended and unintended, then we have all forgiveness. What a wonderful thing. So let's not hold back on anything. Let's put it all out there and let's rejoice in God's forgiveness. The Catechism goes on and asks, what sins should we confess before our neighbor? The answer is whatever sins we have committed against him or her. The Bible says in Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So what should we do then when we have sinned against someone else? It has broken the peace. It has broken the relationship. So the Bible is saying that we should contact that person. We should confess our sins to that person. We should express our sorrow for what we did. And we should receive, hopefully, forgiveness from that person. God wants us to go through that process. The Catechism goes on and asks, what sins should we confess to our pastor? And then it answers like this: sins that trouble us. In other words, we have confessed them to God, but we are still struggling with them. Maybe you've had that situation. Once in a while, someone comes to me because of that very reason. So they have fallen into sin, they've gone to God, they've tried to work through it, and yet they just don't feel like they've worked through the situation. So they come to me and go through the process of private confession. What is the advantage of that? The advantage is that you get to hear in a very personal and individual way your sins are forgiven. And then, depending on what the situation is, we can open the scriptures together and we can look at things that will be a benefit to you at that time and also going forward then in your life. There's a passage in Proverbs 28 that I think is very helpful in this situation. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Don't we want to all prosper in life? But it's saying, if we conceal them, we won't prosper. And then it goes on and says, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. We all want mercy. So God is encouraging us to confess our sins, to forsake our sins, and to rejoice in his mercy. The Catechism goes on and asks, what is the second part of confession before the pastor? And it gives this answer: absolution, that is forgiveness. Let's review the first part for a moment. In the first part, the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge of our sin. The Holy Spirit makes us sorry for our sins, and the Holy Spirit moves us to admit our sins before God. And then in the second part, God speaks through the pastor to give us what we need, the very forgiveness of our sins. Now we come to a section in the Catechism called Connections and Applications. The next question goes like this: how should we regard the absolution spoken by the pastor? And then it gives this answer: when the pastor absolves us, that is, says, I forgive you all your sins, he speaks with Christ's authority and on his behalf. In other words, what I'm trying to say there is, when I say, I forgive you all your sins, it's not me forgiving you, but rather it is God forgiving you. I'm simply the mouthpiece for God, indicating that God forgives you your sins. How is that possible, we might ask? We go to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples there in John chapter 20. He said to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. We also think about that passage in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus explained the connection between God the Father, himself, and then those who serve him in the pastoral ministry. Jesus said to his disciples, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the Father who sent me. So can you see it like a three-link chain, that we have God the Father, linked to him is God the Son, and linked to him would be the called servants of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say there is that when the called servant of Christ says, I forgive you all your sins, he is speaking on behalf of the Son and the Father. So when he says, I forgive you all your sins, that means that we have the forgiveness of the Son, and we also have the forgiveness of the Father. They're all linked together. If you don't think they are, I would challenge you. Go to Home Depot, go to the chain department, and have the man make you a three-link chain of a fairly significant link. And then just take it home and pull it apart. Then you'll know that forgiveness is not coming from the Father. I don't think you could do it. I know the man was a little bit aggravated a few years ago when I went to him in Home Depot and said, I need 20 of those three-link chains, because it's kind of a job to cut those all up. But he did it, though. I even tried to tip him, and he wouldn't take a tip. He said, I can't take it. It's against the policy. But he did it, though, and it proves a very important point about how the Father, the Son, and the servants are connected together. And then the next question, can I be sure that my private confession to the pastor will remain confidential? It's been quite a while now since I was ordained, but when I was asked this question. Will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Then I answered, yes, I will, with the help of God. Why is that important for me to do that, and why is that a reality that I need to get through my head and you need to get through your head? Think about it like this. God has worked through Jesus Christ to remove all sins. And then when we have God's forgiveness, he says that our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. In other words, here is the sinner, here are the sins over here, an infinite distance apart. So because God has done that, that means that I should no longer speak of such sins. I shouldn't even think of such sins. I should know that because God has made this infinite separation, I should make that infinite separation too, and you should as well. These are things that give us encouragement, knowing that though we've done horrible things, God has made this infinite separation. Let us know that. Let us rejoice in that. And then the next question, what is the benefit of individual or private confession and absolution? If I have a particular sin that is bothering me, I can choose to carry that burden on my own. If you can see the picture there, notice the two men, they are carrying quite a load between the two of them. Probably would be even impossible to be able to carry that load by one's self. So here I am, though, carrying my burden on my own, but it's much better, though, to share that burden with someone else. It's even better yet to hear God's forgiveness because of the burden I'm carrying. And it's even better yet when we receive Bible advice on how to go forward in our life, to leave the burden behind and to go forward from it in life. These are all benefits that can come from private confession and absolution. Finally, we come toward the end here, and the question is, how do I prepare for confession? We could even apply these things to not only how do I prepare for confession, how do I prepare for the reception of the Lord's Supper? Because in any service where we have the supper, we are coming to confession and absolution, and all of that is preparing us to receive the very body and the very blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So we have three suggestions here. First of all, we could read through Luther's Table of Duties. We find them in the Catechism there on pages 33 to 36. So as we're reading them, wherever we are falling short, we should confess. Or we could go to Luther's Christian Questions with Their Answers on pages 37 to 40. And again, as we're reading them, wherever we have fallen short, what is the remedy? What action should we take? We should confess. And then finally, there are a number of good penitential psalms, 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. Those are all good ones. You could turn to them, begin to read through them, and again, wherever it shows that we are falling short, God is calling us to confess. All good ways to prepare for confession. I want to conclude here today by sharing some quotes from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. These are quotes out of the Large Catechism. So if we have a small one, there must be a large one, and there is. So with the Large Catechism, he wrote that so the pastors would know more about these basic chief parts. The Small Catechism is written for parents so that they could teach their children. But in the Large Catechism, though, I have three quotes here that tie in with what Luther said about the topic of confession. First of all, he said, "When I exhort you to go to confession, I am doing nothing but exhorting you to be a Christian." So he's saying it's a normal, regular thing to confess. And why is it? Because, unfortunately, it's a normal, regular thing for us poor, miserable sinners to fall into sin. So because we are doing that, confession is then an important part of our lives. He also wrote, "Those who ignore confession and do not come of their own accord, we let go their way. However, they ought to know that we do not regard them as Christians." So Luther was saying that confession is so important. Think about someone who doesn't acknowledge his sins, who's not sorry for his sins, who feels no need to confess his sins, and has no hunger for the supper, but yet he's saying he's a Christian. How does that all fit? I don't see how it does, and Luther was looking at it the same way. God wants us to know that when we are spiritually alive, he's going to give us that hunger to want to confess and to be sure that we are forgiven. When people are physically alive, they have a physical hunger. We know that. For people who are physically alive and don't have physical hunger, we know they're about to die. When people are spiritually alive, they have a spiritual hunger. They hunger for God's gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And then finally, he said, "Confession should and must take place continuously as long as we live, for that is the essence of a genuinely Christian life, to acknowledge that we are sinners and to pray for grace." Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege we have to acknowledge our filth and receive your cleansing. Thank you for washing us in the precious blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.